He's coming up. He does a 24-hour radio show now. He's going to be telling you about some of the work that he's been doing. And this guy is a real... you'll see. Come on up here, Russ. Don't you worry. He's going to wow you.
Thank you.
How you doing, Seattle Hemp Fest? Feeling pretty good, huh? Freedom rocks, doesn't it? This is awesome. This is an amazing thing. My name is Russ Belleville. I'm known as Radical Russ on the air. I do a radio show called The Russ Belleville Show on National Cannabis Radio. You can find it on NCR420.com, like NPR, but NCR420.com, on your smartphone, your tablet, or your computer. We are on 24 hours a day. When my show's not on, we got other great shows like the Irie Island Hour, the Ganja John Show. We got Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, if you like that 70s disco feel, man. We got all sorts of stuff for, by, for, and about the cannabis community. Because when I turn on the TV and I turn on the radio and I see channels for golf and I see the Speed Channel, and it's not even about speed, it's about racing. And I see shopping channels and I see 7 different church channels, I said, man, we ought to have a marijuana channel, don't you think? So that's what we're doing, National Cannabis Radio. And it's not just radio, we got video as well, right? But it's made to be radio so you can have it, you know, in your car and not have to look at it and, you know, wreck. So National Cannabis Radio, NCR420.com. Please check it out. Now, I've been coming to Seattle Hemp Fest and speaking here since about 2007, I believe. And it's always like a family reunion and a beautiful thing to come here. And I want you to note that I do have the Yes on I-502 button on, and I do fully support I-502 because I have a very simple philosophy when it comes to marijuana initiatives. It's called WWGKD. What would Gil Kerlikowski do? What would the drug czar do? And I know for a fact the drug czar would vote against 502, so I'm voting for it. Now, when I say I know this for a fact, I mean, I know this for a fact. In March, I was in Houston, Texas, and I got the opportunity to debate Dr. Kevin Sabet. He was the drug czar's right-hand man for 2009 to 2011, worked in the office of the drug czar since the early 2000s, worked Bush, Clinton, I don't think he went back to Clinton, but he worked in a lot of these administrations, right? So I had an opportunity to debate this guy who gives the advice to the drug czar. And I said, you know, Gil has this thing that he wants to pass. You know, you may have heard this in the some of the literature that's going out there, that the drug czar wants to institute per se DUIDs all across the nation, wants to make that the law. And so they're saying, well, this is bad because it's got the per se DUID in it. So I asked Kevin Sabet, I said, Kevin, since the drug czar wants per se DUIDs, if 502 passes, would he at least be happy that it has a per se DUID in it? And he didn't even answer. He just went, pfft. He just laughed at me. And he said, look, the ONDCP is opposed to marijuana legalization in all forms for any reason. So I know for a fact the drug czar would vote against this thing, so I'm voting for it. But that's enough. I don't want to go too much more into that, but we do need to always move the ball forward. We need to fight, like Pete Holmes said, the federal prohibition. And this is the first chance Washington State's had in 42 years. And these chances don't come around all the time. Ask California. They tried it in 1972, and it was called Prop 19. Guess when the next chance they got? 2010. And 2012, they're not voting on anything. So don't think, oh, we'll just do it next year. It's really hard to get stuff on the ballot, folks. Take the opportunities when you can. But everybody's heard these arguments, and there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of misinformation, and I'll admit, from both sides on this issue. And whenever there's fear going on, that always makes me distrustful in anybody's argument. I don't want to be scared into thinking one way or another. I want the facts. I want some logic involved in this. So here's one thing where I think there's some fear that's a little, well, I'm glad you're getting this fear, because you should have had this fear all along, and it's this fear of DUIs. And I think that a lot of people I respect, by the way, some of my best friends in this movement are on the opposite side of this issue from me. But what I think is missing is that some people may think that you're not getting DUIs now. You're getting discriminated in getting DUIs now, right now. If you're out driving and your nanograms are above 5, like everybody's always worried about this 5 thing, right? Oh, I went to sleep, I woke up the next day, 10 hours later, I was still at 10. Okay. If you're driving now and a cop finds a reason to pull you over now, and I don't care, a broken taillight, missed tag, whatever, finds a reason to pull you over now, and finds a reason to think you're impaired, whether you are, or he's an asshole and he's making it up, whatever, and he makes you do that sobriety test now, and you find some way to fail it, maybe through no fault of your own, maybe you got bad balance, doesn't matter, but if you fail it now, and then that goes to the prosecuting attorney's office with the cop's report that said, I observed a guy that was driving badly, I smelled marijuana on them, we got this blood test, and it's 10 nanograms per milliliter, you're getting a DUI now. You're not getting out of that, okay? You're already, you should, if the people who are saying no on 502 are trying to terrify you with the thought, oh my God, if I go drive, I'm gonna get a DUI, you should be terrified now. Because that's the law now. It's against the law to drive with THC in your blood. Now, when they say, well, it's not scientific. You're damn right it's not scientific. I am in complete agreement with you. I have read more research papers on marijuana and driving than you have read books in school. I will guarantee you that. I spoke on a monthly and weekly basis with Paul Armentano from Normal, the number one expert in the country, if not the world, on this research. I know this research better than you do. I know it's unscientific, but guess what? Politics is unscientific. And let me give you an example. I come from the state of Oregon, where I'm a registered medical marijuana caregiver for my wife, who is a patient. Thanks to that law, I can possess up to 24 ounces of marijuana and cultivate up to 24 plants. But the rules that govern those plants say that I can only have 6 mature plants and 18 immature plants. Like other medical marijuana states, there are some that have that as well. But Oregon is the only one where they define a mature plant as any plant that is taller than 12 inches. How many growers out there have 13-inch vegetating plants? Anybody? Vegetating a 13-inch plant, 14-inch plant? That's a mature plant. Whether it has buds or not, any plant bigger than 12 inches is a mature plant. So when I hear 502 people, no on 502 people, telling me, well, we can't enshrine an unscientific arbitrary limit that might hurt patients into law, I go, how about that 12-inch line that we voted for in Oregon that we passed for medical marijuana that hurts patients when they go away for the weekend and their seedlings become 13 inches tall and make them a felon? Why was it okay to vote for that to protect patients, but not okay to vote for 502 to protect the mass amount of people who aren't patients who possess marijuana just because they like to? Now, I understand the fear, and I hope that everybody understands that as passionate as I get about this issue, I write a lot, I live in cyberspace, where the rules of common decency do not apply. And I've seen comments and vitriol and articles from people who know better, calling people in the movement who dedicated their lives, people whose husbands are in prison, people who have lost their families, their friends, their businesses, their whole life, dedicated to this movement, getting called the most scurrilous names, being subject to the most heinous of threats, even, over this issue. I wore this red shirt today on purpose. While I'm on this blue team, I also support my red friends as well, and I can't believe that HempFest has turned into a goddamn electoral college map with red and blue states in it. Because no matter what happens with I-502, we all have to work together to either fix what went wrong with 502 or come up with the next one that's going to make it better. Because I don't live in a red hemp fest. I don't live in a blue hemp fest. I live in a red, white, and blue America where we're all fighting for the freedom to use this plant any damn way we choose. And I love my brothers who are anti-502. I love my friends who are pro-502. And I will always support all of us until we end this damn prohibition that is hurting this planet and this world. Thank you, NCR420.com.
Come on, give it up for Russ Bellow. Thank you so much, Russ. Now that is telling it like it is. I'm telling you, right, we're sick of this shit. We're not going to take it anymore. That's right. End the BS on us.